Thank you so much for this morning. We thank you for your presence. Thank you for the blessing of being in a church like this. And thank you, Lord, for what good things you have in store for us. Thank you for the great things you intend to do with this church here in this city. And thank you for the privilege of including us at this very tender stage. We pray, Lord, that you will continue to bless this work. Let it prosper, let it multiply, let it grow, and let it increase until it affects all the people for whom you have brought us here in the name of Jesus. All the lives, all the families, all the individuals, all the relationships, all the sinners, and all the people that you have ordained to be saved through this church, we pray, Lord, that you will guide us to them, lead us to them somehow, in the name of Jesus. Direct and order our steps into the lives of all the people that you have ordained for us to be ministers to, O God, and bless us, bless our services, and bless our time in your presence today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Ah. Wow. You may be seated, please. Amen. Okay. Now, we're going to have a dance.
Wow.
Amen. Amy is going to dance for us today.
Wow.
But she's not ready, so I think I should just preach.
Yeah.
Oh, here she is.
Wow.
All right. Okay. So, put your hands together for her. And dance with us today in the presence of God. Amen. All right. Okay, we're ready for you.
It's all I have.
Wow, what a blessing. Amen.
Amen.
We're okay.
We're
okay.
No, I mean, we're okay with the dress
code.
Wow.
Wow.
It's a blessing. Amen. I told you that if you want to be blessed in your walk with God, you need to have an eye that sees greatness in small beginnings. Amen. You need to have an eye that can appreciate a baby. Like you go to the hospital and then you go through labor and all you get is a small baby like that. After screaming all night and going through a lot of pain, that's all you get. Just a small baby, 7 pounds, 8 pounds, 10 pounds if you ate a lot. And that's all you get. But if you have an eye and a mind to respect that baby, that's how you get one of these.
Wow.
Hallelujah. So when God gives you something small, you need to respect it.
Amen.
And to be able to appreciate the greatness in it while it is very small, because anybody can see greatness when it's already great, isn't it?
Yeah.
Anyone can recognize a great thing when it already looks like a great thing, when it already has the label of a great thing, but only few people can see great things when they are really small. And those people are always rewarded greatly for choosing the small thing, the great thing, when it was not yet great. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Are you hearing what I'm sharing with you? So I want to continue sharing with you the word of God. Father, we pray that you bless the preaching and sharing of your word this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. So I have a short time and I want to continue sharing with you from Psalm 23. Last week, I was sharing with you from Psalms number 23. I think the general topic is 7 blessings you can expect from your shepherd, isn't it? Your shepherd or your pastor. Hallelujah. The reason why God gives people a pastor is so that they can experience certain blessings. Amen?
Amen.
And last week, I sort of gave you an overview of the blessings. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Today I want to go back a little bit into Psalm 23 and start reading with you again from verse number 1. Psalms number 23 and the verse is number 1. It says, "The Lord is my shepherd," isn't it? "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." Hallelujah.
Amen.
He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Now, is any of the blessings in this psalm attractive to you?
Oh, yes.
Does this psalm appeal to you in any way?
Yeah.
Is there anything in this psalm that you would like to have?
Yeah.
Right. Starting from the beginning, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. That means I will not lack anything. It means God will supply all my needs.
Amen.
Does that sound like something you'd like to have?
Yeah.
How about he maketh thee to lie down in green pastures?
Wow.
Isn't it?
Yeah.
Even if you don't understand that, I think a nice green lawn is appealing. It's appealing, isn't it?
Yeah.
If you can just have a nice green, rich-looking, well-manicured lawn.
Wow.
I'd be outside your house. I think it's something that people pay money to get.
Yeah.
Isn't it?
Yeah.
So even if you don't understand what green pastures mean, it's okay. It looks like something that is nice. Isn't it?
Yeah.
He leadeth me beside still waters. Isn't it?
Yeah.
That sounds like a cool lake. Sounds like some nice, serene something that is bringing some peace. And then he restores my soul. Isn't it? He puts me back together again. Your soul is your emotions and your will and your whole part of you that interacts with the world.
Yeah.
You understand? And if you've been living long enough, or you've been alive long enough, you know that your soul gets disturbed often. Isn't it?
Amen.
That the soul is not in a good state all the time. One day David was asking himself, he said, why are you so downcast, oh my soul? You know, because he woke up one morning and he just didn't feel right.
Wow.
You understand? And so he asked himself, because he could see that that it looks like there's me, and then there's a part of me that is feeling so low and so down that he actually felt a need to address that part of himself. So he asked himself, why are you so downcast, oh my soul? Then he said, put your hope in God.
Wow.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
So there are times when your soul feels, it looks like it falls apart.
Yeah.
Sometimes your soul is assaulted by the things, the issues, the challenges, the difficulties, the refusals, the rejections, the turndowns, and you just don't know what to do. The unanswered questions and so many other things that attack our soul. But one of the things the Lord does, or one of the blessings, the Bible says, he restoreth my soul.
Amen.
It's like he puts the soul back together again. It's like he hits a reset button on the soul.
Wow.
Are you hearing what I'm saying?
Yeah.
The other day there was a socket somewhere around my house which wasn't working. And I thought this thing is dead. Then I happened to have met an electrician, you know, and as I was speaking to him, I explained the problem to him. Then he said to me, look, I guarantee you there is a reset button on that thing.
Wow.
And I told him, I don't think so. He said, look, this is my job. And I know that there must be a reset button on that thing.
Yeah,
so you go home and look for the reset button. Wow. So I went back home and I moved some things. Then I looked at the thing and there it was.
Wow.
Reset button. And as soon as I hit the reset button, that socket began to work again, just like it did before.
Yeah.
So So you see that sometimes it feels like you need a reset.
Yeah.
Has it felt that way before?
Yeah, yeah.
You feel sometimes like you need to start afresh. Sometimes you feel like you really messed up on this one. If only someone would give you a chance, if they would give you a chance to hit a reset button, you would start afresh. And having learned from your mistakes, you wouldn't make the same mistakes again. You wouldn't take the same steps that led you to that same place. And you just need a chance for that reset. Well, that's one of the blessings we get from the Lord being our shepherd. It says, He restoreth my soul. That means He hits the reset button on my soul. Hallelujah. And then He leads me in paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Hallelujah.
Amen.
He takes me places where my righteousness can improve.
Wow.
Do you see? He shows me and gives me opportunities to be a better Christian, to be a better child of God.
Wow.
He brings me into contact with people who are a positive influence on my Christian life.
Wow.
He allows my environment to be charged with people who are equally eager to know Him, equally eager to serve Him with their lives, people who are seeking God in a dark and evil world, people who are trying to keep their lights and their lamps burning when everything in the world is trying to turn those lamps off.
Wow. Wow.
And God is bringing us to such places all the time by leading us in paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Then He says, yea, though I walk in the valley, or walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil. That is talking about trouble. Deep trouble. He says, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Hallelujah.
Amen.
See, it just caught my attention that what the scripture said is you are walking through the valley of the shadow of death. Now the shadow of death would have been enough. Or even just a valley would be enough. Do you understand? But when you're in the valley of the shadow of death, you are in deep, deep, deep trouble. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So He's trying to say that no matter how deep the trouble is, no matter what the ultimatum is that has been given to you, no matter what the verdict on your health or on your life is, the Bible says, I will fear no evil,
Amen.
For thou art with me.
Amen.
What a blessing. What a blessing.
Wow.
What a blessing. What a place to be. Hallelujah.
Amen.
To be able to know that you have a God who is on your side, and because of whom you do not have to fear any evil, no matter what the news says, and no matter what is looming outside your life. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Then He says, thou preparest the table before me in the presence of my enemies.
Wow.
Wow. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You see, God is not intimidated by our enemies. Hallelujah.
Amen.
God is not intimidated by the things that fight you. An enemy is anything that wants to destroy you. An enemy is anything that wants less for you than you want for yourself. An enemy is anything that's trying to thwart your efforts at advancing. An enemy, Lamech.
Wow.
What a blessing. Amen. An enemy is, you see, in a portable church, we can pause and just excuse me. Amen. Right. So an enemy is anything that is trying to push you back when you are trying to go forward. An enemy is anything that's trying to thwart your efforts at reaching out for more or advancing and becoming a better person or getting somewhere higher than you are now. That is an enemy. And the Bible says God is not afraid of those enemies. God is not afraid of the things that fight you.
Wow.
God is not afraid of the things that you have lost battles to.
Wow.
And He is not intimidated by any of them to the point where He's prepared to set a table before you while those enemies are around.
Wow.
See, most of us would like to try to hide, you know, and eat while our enemies are sleeping.
Yeah.
You see, and eat real fast
wow.
while our enemies are sleeping. But God says, no, 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 not a problem. Bring the food out here
oh,
and eat it right in front of them.
Wow.
Because none of those enemies can do anything. Hallelujah. When the Lord is your shepherd. Hallelujah. None of those enemies will do anything when the Lord is your shepherd. The enemy of your health, the enemy of your finances, the enemy of your relationships, anything that seeks to fight against you, God says, let them bring it on. Hallelujah. Amen. Let them bring it on, because he will take them up himself. Hallelujah. Amen. Then he says, thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. You know, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. So when the Lord is your shepherd, when the Lord is properly your shepherd, you know, the Bible says you can expect goodness to follow you all the days of your life. You can wake up in the morning and expect to encounter some goodness. The Bible says goodness and mercy, not witches and wizards. Goodness and mercy. You understand? Yeah. Not evil, not bad omen, not bad luck. Hallelujah. For you believers in luck, those of you who believe in luck, the Bible says you are not at the mercy of luck when the Lord is your shepherd.
Amen.
But rather, goodness and mercy. Goodness and mercy. Goodness and mercy. And God knows why he keeps mercy following you, because you're going to need a lot of it. Hallelujah. Because the way life is set up, you are bound to need a lot of mercy. You're bound to need mercy from the Lord. You are even bound to need mercy from the police officer. Like I was driving this morning and I was just saying, Lord, have mercy. Because at some point when I checked the speed, I was doing 90, you know, 90 in the HOV lane. I mean, to start with, when you're in the HOV lane, you're telling everybody, hello, I'm here. You see? And so if I was a police officer, that's where I'd be looking for someone to arrest. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And so I was just thinking, Lord, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. All the way down here. Your life is going to need some mercy. You need your boss to show you some mercy. You need someone to say, it doesn't matter, you didn't meet that deadline, but you still keep the job. You need someone to say, your work is full of errors. I don't even know what to do with this. We can't use it. You messed up so much. We can't use any of what you have done. And you are thinking, I spent hours and hours to get this done. And they take a red mark and just write nonsense through it. Because it's not useful. And you start to tremble. And you begin to wonder. When they tell you the boss is calling you for a meeting, you just wonder, is this it? Do you understand? But if you remember that the Lord promised that he will show you mercy. Mercy is for people who are not perfect. If you're one of those perfect people, then maybe this verse is not for you. You wait till I get to the next one. But this one is for those of us who are not perfect. It's for those of us who know that we make mistakes every day. It's for those of us who know that except God shows us some mercy, we're not going very far. Hallelujah. That's for us in this verse. And the Bible says, surely, 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 goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Hallelujah. So you can see it's a long list of great blessings, but all of them are predicated on verse 1, which is that the Lord is my shepherd. Hallelujah.
Amen.
That means you need to be under the shepherdorial care of the Lord. Hallelujah.
Amen.
God needs to be your shepherd. You need to place yourself properly under the Lord's shepherdorial care in order to experience all these blessings. Can I have an amen?
Amen.
Now, one of the ways, you see, somebody was asking me the other day, but this psalm said the Lord is my shepherd. So what has it got to do with people? Well, when you go to 1 Peter chapter 1, go with me to 1 Peter chapter 1. No, chapter 5, I'm sorry. 1 Peter chapter 5 and from verse 1. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 1. Now, he seems to be talking to the elders, and he says, the elders which are among you, I exhort, who am also an elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. Then verse 2, he says, feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, and not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind, neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being examples to the flock. Amen. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Now, you can see in verse 4, the Bible describes the Lord as the chief shepherd. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Now, there is no need to distinguish a chief shepherd unless there are other shepherds. Do you see what I'm saying? So, for example, in a setting where you have other drivers, you can have a chief driver. In a setting where you have other residents, you can have a chief resident. In a situation where you have other police officers, I saw on the news this morning that the police chief in a certain town in Texas got shot yesterday. He got killed when he stopped somebody's car, and the person shot and killed him. You know, so you talk about a police chief because there are other police officers.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Wow.
Now, when you look in this context, you see right here that they're talking about the chief shepherd. The chief shepherd is the one who will appear, who will give a crown of glory that fadeth not to some people. Hallelujah. When you go to verse 1, we see who he's bringing the crown of glory to. He's bringing them to the elders. Isn't it? So it would appear that these elders that are being addressed here must be the ones who are the shepherds over whom the Lord himself is the chief shepherd.
Wow.
Hallelujah.
Yeah.
So God actually works through shepherds that he has appointed.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Yeah.
God works through pastors and works through shepherds that he has appointed. It is like the government. You know, the government does things for you through other government agents that are appointed. When you get a passport in your hand, who gave it to you? The government. But where did you meet the government? By meeting one of his agents.
Wow.
You understand?
Wow.
And by relating appropriately with one of the agents of the government, you get to benefit from whatever the government has provided for you.
Yeah.
Are you hearing what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So when the Bible says, the Lord is my shepherd, you should not be expecting to see the Lord walking in front of you. Hallelujah.
Amen.
But rather, you should not be surprised that one of his agents, or he will give you access to one of his agents. He will give you access to a pastor. He will give you access to somebody who will take care of you.
Wow.
He'll put you in a church and put you in a place where you can have constant access to one of his agents.
Wow.
And through that access, he is able to care for you as he intends for you to experience.
Amen.
Can I have an amen?
Amen?
And that is one of the reasons why everybody needs to have a pastor. Can I have an amen?
Amen?
So everybody needs to belong to a church. Everybody needs to be in a place. Now back to Psalm 23, you see one of the blessings is that he makes me lie down in green pastures. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Now, if you were a sheep in the real sense, the sound of green pasture would ring glorious bells with you. Hallelujah.
Amen.
If you were a sheep in the real sense, the sound of pasture that is green would be very attractive to you. Hallelujah.
Amen.
But because you are a sheep, but this time in the spiritual sense, then the sound of green pasture also has to appeal to you in the sense of the spiritual.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
In other words, green pasture here is referring to spiritual food that the Lord makes available to his people through the shepherds.
Amen.
So when you read the Bible, you see commonly when the Lord is addressing the shepherds, what he tells them to do is to feed the sheep. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Let me show you quickly a couple of those scriptures. If you would flip back to the verse we just read in 1 Peter chapter 5 and look at verse 1 and 2. It says, the elders which are among you I exhort, who am a fellow elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ. Okay, then jump to verse 2. The instruction to the elders is feed the flock of God. Did you see that?
Yeah.
He said, feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly. Amen.
Amen.
So the elders or the leaders or the pastors have a responsibility of feeding the flock of God.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
God wants his flock to be fed all the time. Now, let me show you a second example. Verse 28 of Acts chapter 20. Acts chapter 20 and verse 28. It says, take heed. Where is it? Are you bringing it? Acts chapter 20 and verse 28. Take heed therefore unto yourselves. Did you see that?
Yeah.
Take heed therefore unto yourselves. Acts chapter 20 and verse 28. Take heed therefore. Well, if you have your Bible, just look in there because I think, Kelly, what's going on? It's frozen? Okay. All right. Just read from your Bible. We have just 2 minutes left and then I'll be done. So don't follow this computer. Amen. All right. Listen, it says, take heed therefore to yourselves and to all the flock. Now, this seems to be an instruction to pastors again, isn't it?
Yeah.
It says, take heed of you unto yourselves and to all the flock in which the Holy Spirit has made you bishops. Wow.
Oh, wow.
This is powerful.
Yeah.
Right. Okay. But look at this. He says again, to do what? Feed the church of the Lord, which he purchased with his own blood. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So now, if you're one of those who has been washed by the blood of Jesus, how many of those are here today? If you're one of those who has been washed by the blood of Jesus, then you probably are one of those he's talking about here. Hallelujah.
Amen.
If you've been purchased with his own blood, then you are the one he's referring to as the church of the Lord, isn't it?
Yeah.
And if you are the church of the Lord, then he's trying to say that the pastors and leaders and bishops and so on that you have over you are appointed for you by the Holy Spirit.
Right.
You understand? Right. And their job towards you is to feed you. Hallelujah.
Amen.
It's to feed you. That's what the Bible is teaching about what you can expect. Hallelujah.
Amen.
No wonder he said he makes me lie down in green pastures. Are you understanding what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Now look at one more example. John chapter 21 and from verse 15. John chapter 21 and from verse 15. It says, so when they had dined, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, he said, lovest thou me more than these? Okay. John chapter 21 and verse 15. Okay. He says, so when they had broken their fast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, lovest thou me more than these? He saith unto him, yea, Lord. Okay. So Simon Peter was one of the disciples and he was one of the leaders of the, we call them apostles, isn't it? And so again, here's another elder who is being addressed by the Lord. And the Lord is asking him, do you love me more than these? Then when he says, yeah, Lord, I love you. Then Jesus said to him, you know, the proof of your love for me is what you do with my lambs. He says, I want you to feed my lambs. Hallelujah. Then in verse 16, can we write do verse 16? No, she's trying to get her own notes as well as share the verses at the same time. Look at verse 16. says, then he said to him a second time, Simon, son of John, lovest thou me? He said to him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. You know that I love you. Then he said to him, tend my sheep. Okay. Then there's a third one. Verse 17. He said to him the third time, Simon, son of John, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved. He was just grieved. He said, I don't even know what you want anymore. Do you understand? And he was grieved because he said to him the third time, lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus said unto him, feed my sheep. So it looks like this feed my sheep thing, feed my sheep, feed my sheep, feed my sheep, is very important to the Lord.
Yeah.
Now, if you are that sheep he's referring to, then you better know that even if you don't understand it, it must be important to you.
Yeah.
Are you getting what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Even if you don't understand why, it must be important to you. Why is the Lord so all over his leaders and pastors with this idea of feeding the sheep? Why does he want to feed the sheep all the time? There's one more verse, Jeremiah chapter 3 and verse 15. Let's read that one also. Jeremiah chapter 3 and verse 15. Jeremiah chapter 3 and verse 15. It says, and I will, let's read this one together. 1, 2, 3, go. And I will give, no. Chapter 3, verse 15. Chapter 3, verse 15. Only verse 15. Just give me verse 15 only. All right? Okay, let's read it together. Everybody, 1, 2, 3, go. And I will give you shepherds according to my heart, who shall feed you with knowledge and understanding. Now, let's read it again. 1, 2, 3, go. And I will give you shepherds according to my heart, who shall feed you with love. One more time, please. Read so loud that you can hear only yourself. All right. 1, 2, 3, go.
And I will give you shepherds according to my heart,
who shall feed you with knowledge and understanding. Hallelujah. So God says, I'm going to give you shepherds. I'm going to give you pastors, you know. I'm going to give you shepherds. The only reason why he's calling them shepherds is because he's calling them also sheep. Hallelujah. You choose your name and the name of the leader also changes. If you say church member, then he becomes pastor. Hallelujah. So whatever you call yourself, but the Lord is calling you sheep. At least those are the people he was referring to in Psalm 23. In Psalm 23, he started off talking about shepherds and sheep, isn't it?
Yeah.
So he says that he will give you shepherds according to his heart, who will feed you again, who will feed you with knowledge and understanding. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So it must mean then that we really need this feeding. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
That the feeding is very, very important. Now, when you talk about feeding, it's different from having a meal somewhere. Do you understand?
Yeah.
A person who gives you a treat at a restaurant is not necessarily your feeder.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Someone who gives you an occasional treat, if at the end of the service I invite you to McDonald's and I buy you a Big Mac, you know, well, that fed you for the afternoon, but I'm not your feeder.
Oh.
Hallelujah. Feeding has connotations of regularity. God is establishing a certain relationship. Hallelujah. And God is trying to put somebody in your life who is a source, a constant source of something to you. Can I have an amen? When you feed something to something, you are trying to supply it or give it a supply of that thing.
Wow.
Because most of the time, that thing actually depends on it.
Wow.
Hallelujah. And so it is important. That is why God is giving you pastors according to his heart, who will feed you with knowledge and understanding. Can I have an amen?
Amen.
Why do we need to be fed with knowledge and understanding? Why do we need to be fed? Because God who made us designed us to need it. Hallelujah. So one last verse for today will be Matthew chapter 4 and verse 4. Matthew chapter 4 and verse 4. Is my message making sense to you at all? Are you coming along with me?
Yeah.
Right. Matthew chapter 4 and verse 4. He says, but he answered and said, it is written. Everybody say, it is written.
It is written.
He said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Hallelujah.
Amen.
He says, man shall not live by bread alone. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Well, when we talk about bread, we are obviously talking about a physical provision. Amen.
Amen.
In other words, a human being does not or is not designed to live on just bread or physical provision. Hallelujah.
Amen.
But he needs also every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Hallelujah.
Amen.
This must be the reason why the Lord is all over the shepherds with this, feed my flock, feed my flock, feed my flock. Hallelujah.
Amen.
That feeding is not a physical feeding, because he knows that most people are good at finding this bread for themselves. What most people cannot do for themselves is getting every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God.
Wow.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
That is why he said, I will give you shepherds according to my heart who will feed you with knowledge and understanding, not Kentucky Fried Chicken. Hallelujah.
Amen.
You should never be upset with a pastor for not giving you Kentucky Fried Chicken or not serving pizza at the end of the service or something like that, because that's not his job.
Wow.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
But God is expecting that through your pastors, you will be fed with knowledge and understanding. Understanding is a broadening of your mind to appreciate issues and to be able to understand even what life and spiritual issues are about. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And he said, I'll give you somebody who will be a supply of that to you, because you need it. Amen.
Amen.
You don't just need bread. You don't just need a job that provides bread. You don't just need things that are in the physical arena only. But he said, and this is the manufacturer's report. This is the word of God. The one who made us says that we are not designed to function properly on bread alone.
Wow.
Any life that is continuing without a constant source of the words that come from the mouth of God, a constant source of it into your life, or a constant input of the word of God into your life, is not a complete life.
Wow.
Anybody who is living on bread alone is half dead, if you like.
Wow.
Because he said you're designed to live on bread and every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. But you're so high up on the bread, but you have zero of this. So you're really half dead. Amen.
Wow.
You are just physical. You are just a body. You are just food, and that is it. But God says, a life, a meaningful life, is not sustained only by fish and chips. It's not sustained only by KFC chicken. It's not only sustained by El Pollo Loco. It's not just sustained by Pizza Hut or Domino's for that matter. But you need every word that comes out of the mouth of God. Hallelujah. And he says that the relationship is the same. Because what this one is used for is for feeding you. Then what this one must also be doing is feeding you.
Wow.
So you need two pipes connected to your life.
Wow.
You need a pipe that brings in bread. This is the pipe that brings the pizza and everything. And then you need another pipe that brings in the word of God.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
The word of God, which becomes knowledge and understanding, which you need for life. Hallelujah.
Amen.
The word of God, which breaks down. This one breaks down into vitamins. It breaks down into carbohydrates and breaks down into vitamin A and B and C and D. But this one breaks down into knowledge and understanding, which you can never get from bread alone. You can never get bread alone or get knowledge and understanding from bread alone. There is no knowledge and understanding from pizza. It will just put you to sleep. Sorry?
Isn't bread knowledge though?
Isn't bread knowledge? No, bread is not knowledge.
Proceed, right?
You're saying, so what is he saying?
Because he said the bread is the day, right? But you need to proceed to be a process. Another
receptor. No, he's saying that you need every word that proceeds out.
Bread,
proceed
yeah.
means comes forth. Yeah. Every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Through the mouth of God. And the mouth of God is the word of God. We are talking here about the Bible. So this second one is the Bible. Are you getting it? And the first one is what you have at home, which is bread in the house. Hallelujah. It's at home, it's in the store, it's in the mall, it's in the buffet place, it's in the Chinese place. There is no knowledge and understanding at the Chinese place. Just vitamins. Hallelujah. Just cholesterol and those kinds of things. But in the house of God, the Bible says you can expect to get a treat from the word of God. You need every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Hallelujah. That talks about a relationship. That talks about having a place that you go to on a regular basis. Having someone who represents this supply on a regular basis in your life. Hallelujah. That is why God are one of the blessings that you can expect from having a shepherd in your life. Hallelujah. So you notice how he said, go back to Psalm 23 and verse 2. Psalm 23 and verse 2. Notice how he says, he makes me lie down. Do you understand? This is not a drive-through experience. Are you getting what I'm saying? With the other bread, you can just drive through and pick it up and just go. But with this one, God needs you to come to a state of rest. God needs you to come to a place where he has time to work on you and has access to you on a regular basis. He says you need to come to a place of rest. Where the pastures are green, because he needs you to be fed. Can I have an amen?
Amen.
So tell the neighbor, God wants you to be fed. Hallelujah. And that's my job. That's why I came to LA. Hallelujah. So that you can be fed. Amen. So you can have a constant source of feeding. And so you can be fed with knowledge and understanding,
amen,
which will be a blessing to your life. Hallelujah. So I want to encourage all of you to make every effort. Make every effort to keep coming. Amen.
Amen.
To keep coming on a Sunday by Sunday basis. And if I'm calling you and texting you, know that I'm just inviting you to the table.
Right.
Hallelujah. All I'm trying to do is to get you to come to the table, because that is where God will serve the meal.
Wow.
And you need it. I tell you, any time you do an order for pizza, you must also send a text and order some word of God. Because you should know that you will not survive on the pizza alone.
Amen.
You need every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Say amen.
Amen.
Stand to your feet and let's bring the service to a close. I hope you learned something from that.
Wow.
Hallelujah. Bow your heads, everybody, and let's pray. Let's bow our heads in prayer. And I want you to think about the Lord and how interested he is in your life. God cares about you so much that to start with, he purchased you with his own blood. Except, of course, you have not been washed by the blood of Jesus Christ. And if you haven't, you can do so, or allow yourself to experience that today. But if you've been washed by the blood of Jesus Christ, then the next important thing for you is to allow the shepherd, the chief shepherd, to lead you through the shepherds that he has provided for you. You need to allow the chief shepherd to bring you to the place to make you lie down in green pastures, because you need this constant feeding. You need spiritual feeding. You do not only need physical feeding. Your life is not designed to run properly, to run in a fulfilled way on just bread, on just physical food and physical things. A job is not enough to sustain you. There is another component in life that only comes through the shepherds that the Lord provides for you, because it is spiritual. It says every word that comes out of the mouth of God means you need to feed on the word of God. And if you need to feed on it, it means your life depends on it. And if your life depends on it, then you need a constant supply of that thing. Because anything you need to live on, you need a constant supply of that thing. You need easy access to it, and you need a constant supply and a constant flow of that thing into your life. And God says his word is essential. His word is a lamp unto your feet, is a light unto your path. Without the word of God in your life, you're just walking and groping in darkness. You just don't even know it. Because his word is a lamp unto your feet, and his word is a light unto your path. If you don't have his word operating in your life, you are really in darkness. You are without light in this world. And it's a dangerous way to live. That is why God has appointed for us to have light. And so I want you to pray for yourself in the next 2 seconds or so, and just pray and say, Lord, help me to connect. Help me to connect. I recognize the provision you've made for me, and I want to take advantage of it in the name of Jesus. Help me, Lord. Help me, Lord. Help me, Lord. I realize I need the word of God. I need that supply of the word of God. I need that connection to the word of God. Because if not for anything at all, it is a lamp unto my feet. It is a light unto my path. My path needs light. My path needs light. My direction needs light. My plans need light. My hopes and my aspirations and my dreams and my goals, they need light. They need light because they are conceived in a world of darkness. And they need the light that comes from the word of God. And I want you to embrace that light in your life today, in the name of Jesus. Oh, thank you, Lord. Father, we thank you so much for this opportunity today. Thank you for enlightening us. Thank you for opening our eyes to see the reality and to see the truth about the importance of the word in our lives. The need to have a church we attend regularly. The need to have someone we can point to and say, this is my feeder. To be able to have someone we can point to and say, this is my pastor. This is the one that the Holy Ghost has appointed to feed me. Thank you for bringing that understanding to us. In the name of Jesus, I pray, Lord, for your blessing. I pray that you will cause the word to enter our spirits, and cause the word to enter our hearts, and cause us to rise up in response and in obedience to it. In the name of Jesus, let it birth commitment in our hearts. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for your blessing. Now, before we close this afternoon, while every hour is closed, I want to give you an opportunity. If you're here this afternoon, you're saying, Lord, I want to commit my life to you. I want to be born again. I want to give my life to Jesus. I want my sins to be washed away. I want to be one of those who can claim that they are purchased by the blood of Jesus. If you're here like that, I want you to raise up your right hand quietly and I'll pray for you. Just raise up your right hand. God bless you. Just raise up your right hand and I'm going to pray for you. And if you're here also and you say, Pastor, pray with me. I've been saved, but somehow I'm falling off, or I realize I'm not such a serious Christian, or I'm not such a serious person when it comes to God. And I want to fix that today. If that is the prayer on your heart, I want you also quietly just raise up your right hand and I'm going to pray for you too. Just keep your right hand up quietly and I'm going to pray for you. Is there anybody here like that? Do you want to say, Pastor, pray with me, because I realize that my Christian life is not like it should be. I know God, but I have not followed through with it. I have not committed. I have not followed my commitments to Him as I should. And I want to fix that today. I want today to be the beginning of a new relationship altogether with the Lord. Is there anybody here like that? Thank you, Jesus. All right. Why don't we all just say this prayer together? I want you to say, Heavenly Father. Everybody say, Heavenly Father. I thank you for dying for me. Say, today I commit myself into your hands. And I thank you for the blood of Jesus that has purchased me. Say, let the blood wash me. Let the blood cleanse me. Let the blood establish me in you. See, I know my relationship with you has not been as it should. But today is a day of restoration. The Bible says you restore my soul. So restore my soul, Lord. Restore this relationship, Lord. Take me back to those days when I first believed. Say, thank you, Jesus. You are my master. I'm beginning a new walk with you today. Thank you, Lord, for hearing my prayer. Amen. Hallelujah. Put your hands together for me. Hallelujah. Amen. Are you blessed today?
Yes.
How many have learned something today? Tell your neighbor, you will not do well on bread alone. Hallelujah. See, California is full of examples of people who haven't done well on bread alone. Isn't it? Yeah. Just last week, Robin Williams killed himself. You know, I was just reading about him on the internet. And I saw that he was worth 130 million.
Wow.
I mean, you could use just one of those.
Yeah.
He has 130 of them. I mean, he has 1, 2, 3, 4, 45, 46, 47, 62, 63, 64, and 87, 89, 99, 100. Then he started another pack.
Wow.
And then he's at 27, 28, and now he's on 30. You are trying to have not even one, a bit of one. You see what I'm saying? But someone who has got everything you're looking for, plus more, still cannot find a reason to be around. It tells you that it takes more. It takes more. Hallelujah. Yeah.